Turn your Bibles. Philippians chapter 2. Who has ever heard the phrase, "I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning"? Okay. Who's ever owned it? All right. I've stated that. Hard to believe, I know. And what that statement represents is something deeper. Whether we want to call it a bad attitude or maybe just a rough night's sleep or maybe just an approach we are choosing to take at life that day, there is something deeper that's represented in a statement like, "I woke up on the wrong side of the bed," or "You don't want to mess with me, not today," right? And here we are, we're reading through Philippians, and this book is, if you could summarize it, it's on joy and walking with joy. And I'm trying to read it, getting into the mind of Paul and his motivation for highlighting joy to the church in Philippi. Now, I don't know if it was for himself because he is a prisoner in chains, or if he is looking at this church and we are being led to believe that maybe they didn't always walk in the right attitude. The way I kind of read this, and especially when I'm looking in the mirror after reading it, Paul is in prison telling us, you know, your attitude kind of stinks. Now, without raising your hand again, but just ask yourself, have you ever been told you've had a bad attitude? Maybe you were told that this morning. Maybe on the way to church. And some of you say, yes, I've been told I have a bad attitude, but I've got some legitimate complaints in my life. Like, if you were to look over what I am going through or what I've been through, I've got legitimate complaints where I can gripe. But I think, here's the thing, Paul would caution you, because if you want to choose to live in this world that's driven by complaining and arguing, it is only going to lead you down the road of bitterness. An unpleasant person. Someone no one wants to be around. And maybe that's your goal. But it's not godly. And so listen to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 5 all the way to verse 18, but I'll try and make all the reading entertaining for you. It says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." Everyone say attitude. "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to." Think about that. No entitlement. "Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So now what you're going to see Paul do is he takes the shift away from Jesus to us. Listen to this. "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it brings. And God, that we might be people that we walk diligently through life just as obedient children, not complaining about our situations, Father. Because, Lord, if our ultimate calling is to represent you and your kingdom well, God, may others see your kingdom in us, that we are children of your kingdom. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there are so many places in Scripture that tell us how to live. And sometimes, if we allow ourselves to get to this place where we recognize all our faults, we can almost feel inundated with the expectations of how to live. Who knows what I'm saying? It's like, boy, God, you expect me to do all these things, and I am so imperfect. And sometimes we're so focused on the expectations of us, we don't think about the results if we do obey. What are the results that follow if I choose to start obeying what God is asking of me? And I believe that God produces things in our life when we start to meet those expectations. Next thing you know, blessings start to occur and good things start following. And next thing you know, the Spirit of God is moving upon you and it's undeniable. And all you have to do is you have to go to church and boom, you're going to that altar and you're entering in immediately to the presence of God. Those kind of things. That's what we aim for, amen? The Spirit of God and what He's doing in this church, it's undeniable. And yet I can tell you, God wants to take us deeper. He wants to take us deeper. He wants to take us further. And He's encouraging us to step out. He's encouraging us to also reach out to those in our lives that are broken and take them to a God that loves them and cares about them. But there's some steps to get there. And the first thing that I want to highlight for you today, and what I read from the Apostle Paul, is that honor accompanies obedience, but it has to start with obedience. And something for you to highlight for your life, something to embrace, is where Jesus Christ is, there are characteristics that follow. So if I am carrying Jesus throughout my life, if I am praying, if I am reading the word, if I am listening to things that just glorify Him, what I am going to find is the characteristics of Christ start to spring out of my own life. I think we can all agree that Christ should be our aim, but it's so much more than that, because we can state Christ is my aim. I want to be like Him. I want to walk like Him. I want to talk like Him. I want to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, perform miracles like Him. But Scripture tells us we need to follow His example. Listen to 1 John 2:5 through 6. It says, "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." Now let's take it a step further, because this was Jesus' command to us in Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to His disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me." Here is our reality. Following Christ requires exchanging our old life for a new one. There's an exchange that takes place. And so it means turning away from sin, which might require you ending relationships. It could mean facing rejection from others for your newfound faith. And when times get difficult, will you remain on a path of being obedient to God? Church, I've seen it time and time again where people go through difficult things and that drives them to the church. And when things start to get better, I've got what I've received from God. Now I can go back to doing what I want to do. That's not it. That is so not it. God has only begun to do a work in your life. And if you truly learn to surrender and walk on that path of obedience, I'm telling you, the sky is the limit in what God can do. And so I want to talk to you about obedience's result, the result of obedience. Because if you and I are to have the same attitude as Jesus, let's look at the result of him chasing the path of humility and dying on a cross. In Philippians 2:8, one of our main text verses today, it says, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him. Everyone say elevated. God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every other name, all other names. So the result of Jesus' obedience to God was elevated to the highest place of honor. You who are in Christ Jesus that choose to be obedient, that's the only way you can be if you're in Christ. God is going to honor your obedience. The world might mock you for it. Your flesh might tell you, I don't like this. But God is going to honor you. Listen to Proverbs 8:32. It says, now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. John 14:21 says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Who needs Jesus revealed in your life? Here's the thing, though. If we are not doing what God asks, that's disobedience. Listen to James 1:14-15. It says, temptation comes our way. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. That stands true for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter the sin. Are you guys hearing me? It doesn't matter the level of sin. It could be someone with just a bad attitude. It doesn't you don't have to go on a killing spree. Many of you do a good enough job just killing people in your heart. And so we can sin against God just by what we feel inside. Jesus was arguing this with the Pharisees, and he told them, he says, defilement comes from within. It's not about just necessarily what you're doing on the outside. So I choose to make Christ my aim in everything I do. And if you want to become like Christ, fall in love with Jesus. You got to fall in love with who Jesus is. And the only way you are going to discover that is by the Word of God. So the Word of God should be the resource that gives you life. It sets you on the right trajectory for your day. And then when you read it, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I need to take what I am reading and I need to apply it into my life. And then obedience is you just having the right attitude in approaching the Word of God and applying it. That obedience is then measured by your actions. Are you hearing me? Because this next point, this is important. Work accompanies faith. Now I need to ask you a question. Is faith all we need to be in Jesus Christ? Or is there more than that? Think about it. To embrace eternal life in Jesus Christ, all that is required is to believe. I believe that if the Lord took us home today, from the oldest believer in the room to those who may have accepted Jesus Christ today, we are all going to eternity with him. I believe that. Listen to Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Here's the thing, though. Many people approach their salvation as something they have to prove through the self-piety and work. Like we have to pay back to God for all the sin we committed. That's not it. Because here's the problem with that. You get into this mode that I have to earn my salvation like it's a badge of honor, something that you accomplished, you achieved. And it's not. Salvation isn't earned. I'm going to say it again. I want you to repeat it after me. Salvation isn't earned. Salvation isn't earned. It has been freely offered to you, so you just choose to freely receive it. So to be forgiven, and I want you to hear this, to be forgiven, it is 100% true. All you need is faith. Faith is also something that you just don't immediately receive in full. Praise God. It develops over time. Romans 10:17, this is reinforcing the importance of the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So one of the primary ways that your faith grows is by reading and hearing the word and being obedient to it. Because when you see there are results for your obedience, it allows your faith to grow. But what you cannot escape is that when your faith grows, it should be obvious by what you do. It should be obvious by what you do. If you have people who have no idea that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to do it more. That's the King James English. Because faith without works is what? Faith without works is dead. That's what it teaches us in James 1:26. So when you believe in and trust God for more, the way you live and what you do should reflect God. It should speak to what you believe. And so I believe it is most obvious by often how you treat others. And putting in efforts to help those who are less fortunate. Listen to what Jesus said in how we treat others. He says in Matthew 25:40-45. He's talking about the day of judgment. And he's illustrating this through a story, through an allegory. It says, and the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, so into hell, prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. He's talking about the results of our faith in him. So if you see someone hungry, you should feed them. He says, I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. Work is a response to what we believe. And it shows up in how you treat others. Think about it for just a moment. If we are willing to say, I am going to abandon my old life for a new life, I recognize that Jesus Christ enables sin to be removed from my life, I potentially might lose relationships because of this newfound faith. If I believe that Jesus completely changes the course of my life, then it should show up in how we treat others. The church should look drastically different from how others are treated outside of the church. And if we claim Christ, but we don't love others through acts of service and compassion for them, The love of God himself is not in you. That's biblical. That's 1 John chapter 2. And listen, I know the seasons we're in. I know the divisive nature of just what's going on in our country. And everything, it seems, feels very tumultuous, even the weather. Huh. Right? And Jesus' return, it seems so imminent. I want you to hear me out, though. But it is not time for you to duck and cover and just take care of your own. It's not time for that. It's not time for you to find a cave. It's not time for you to form a bunker at the bottom of your house and arm yourself. Listen to Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You see that even unto the end of the age, the Lord your God is saying, I am not through with you yet. I am going to use you to preach to the nations. And all he is looking for are people who are saying, I am going to be obedient to your word. And I am going to go out even if it costs me my life. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. Now I'm telling you, we have to be wise even in our works. But if we believe that God is above all things and God has called us to do his will, then we will live under God's protection and his provision in his will. And so when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, you do it. You do it. And that first step, here's the thing. To say that we should be living this life where our faith is accompanied by works, that first step in that act of work is a step of faith. It's a step of faith because we are so inclined to say, nope, don't like that, don't want to do that, don't want to go pray for that person because I don't know if they believe in Jesus. I don't want them to think I'm weird. I don't want them to think I'm different or choose to reject me from here on out. We think those things. And so to actually step out and do it is an act of faith. But you know what I've found? People who are hurting, whether they believe in Jesus or not, generally like being prayed for. And you know what else? They might not have a faith at all, or they might have a faith that is against Christ, but yet, for some reason, they still welcome prayer. Interesting. But I want to be clear about something. Works is not simply something like, let's go out as a church and clean up trash in the community. There's churches that do that, and I appreciate churches that do that, but I want you to hear me out. God is looking for something deeper, more meaningful, proclaiming the good news. And knowing that time is precious, I don't want to do things that just waste time. You guys hearing me? I want to give people true life-giving news. And so I'm telling you, commit to times of service to others, but trust and know that God is going to equip you through his word to lead people to him. And I'm telling you, the number in which God wants to do that, you can't just pray prayers like, use my pastor. You got to pray prayers like, use me. Use me to do that. And that's when God's going to prove himself faithful and prove that he is using you in a big way. So, what you do should be, ultimately, proclaiming Christ. What he's done in your life, the difference that he has made. And that here's the reality. anything I do, I don't want to glorify myself. I need to point to the one who has changed my heart to serve. The last thing for today. Joy accompanies commitment. When you commit yourself to the work of the Lord, you will find yourself joyful. And I want to be careful about this word joy. Because when I grew up, I thought joyful people were the, forgive my vernacular, but happy idiots. You know, everywhere they walked around with a ridiculous smile, and I'm just like, I can't relate to you. I don't got time for you today. Like, that's just way too much for me. That's not the kind of joy we're talking about. Okay? The kind of joy we're talking about is, imagine us choosing to embrace life and our day, that God has instilled purpose in us, and our attitude isn't just, God, I'm going to do what you ask, but don't expect me to like it. But to wake up every day and say, God has given me this day. God has given me this day, and this is a day of opportunity. Listen, there are already enough challenging aspects to our faith in a world that is committed to sin, so our attitude needs to be such that it appears different than what others see in the world. And so I got to show them different. I got to reflect Christ. And so in choosing to commit an act of service for someone, and typically the world only offers that if they're going to get paid for it, that is going to send a message. That is going to send a message that you love and care for them. And if you can do it, hear me out, if you can do it with true joy and compassion, that sends an even greater message. I just get pleasure out of doing it. But it can't be faked. It's got to be genuine. Because people can see through it if you're doing it out of obligation or just an expectation that you have for yourself. And then take it a step further. The other challenge is to be joyful, even in physical hardships and difficulties that we might face because of our faith in Jesus Christ. So ask yourself a question right now. If I was to face a hardship today, would these challenges cause me to react negatively? Will I display this self-pity? Will I show my suffering? Do I tend to gripe and complain about my situation? Or might you see what others are going through and you say, oh yeah, that looks bad, but you want to see my scars? So often, that's our mindset. And listen, Paul didn't write this letter saying, woe is me, I'm in prison. You guys have it so good. He's not saying any of that. And I'm telling you guys, no one sees Jesus in that. They see a whole lot of you. And those are the parts that aren't so beautiful. Paul is calling us to a service of joy, even unto death. And so, it is really us to just say that we need to choose to have the right attitude. Attitude is a choice. Whether it's difficult, it might even cost you greatly. But to choose to have that attitude, because I am telling you, our joy comes from the Lord. So as long as you are seeking to, you're seeking out his word, you're crying out to him in prayer, and you're having this communion with him on a daily basis, then what is taking place is the joy of the Lord is going to become your strength, and it is going to allow you to get through each and every day. And I believe that there are things that in this room, everyone gets joy from something, and you get joy from the things that you truly love. So for you, if church feels like a miserable experience, and you're like, all right, pastor, wrap it up. But yet you get all juiced up for football. In that, it is clear what you love, right? It's clear what you love. And what I have learned is throughout, and I love football, but throughout our lives, lessons and experiences changes what gives us joy. And I want you to know that if you open the door to God, He's going to reveal His Spirit to you. And when God's Spirit moves upon you, it is going to give you an undeniable joy. And you are going to find a treasure that you can't find on the rest of this earth. Because guess what? Your football team still stinks, okay? God is always going to give you more than enough. Everything you need for the rest of your life. You are going to find yourself satisfied in Him. Listen to Ezekiel 36, 26 through 28. We're going to be wrapping up. Ezekiel says, this is God's promise to His people. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Church, I am telling you the joy that comes from knowing that you are a child of the living God. There is a joy and peace that cannot be expressed sometimes at just knowing that God is going to take care of me no matter what I face in this earth. And that joy, it comes from the Lord. But it develops by you understanding God has done a great work for me. This day of mercy. You know, mercy is usually one of those things where When we go to those who hold judgment over us or hold the power over us, it's one of those things that mercy is often a point of feeling weak. But you know what I've found? Mercy found in the throne room of God, found at the judgment seat of God, only gives joy. It only gives peace. And that really at the end of the day, no matter what I'm facing in this life, I'm forgiven. And there's nothing that means more in my life than that. And so the joy that I carry is knowing that I didn't deserve to be forgiven, but I am. I didn't deserve to receive mercy, but I did. And God chooses to look at me not as a sinner. He chooses to look at me as His own creation. A son in the kingdom of God. And when God is looking upon you, if you choose to claim His Son, Jesus Christ, He is looking at you as a son or daughter of the risen King. A son and daughter of God. And church, that's the deep truth that can change our attitude, is waking up with the newness every day of realizing God has claimed me as His own. What I want to do right now, I want to give opportunity. We're going to stand up. We're going to sing. But if life's been difficult, if the attitude has been a challenge, if you're having a tough time shaking the things in your life and you just need God, you just need the joy of the Lord, you need the promise and hope of eternity, you need that resonating in your life, you need to be able to wake up every day like it's a new day that God has made. And you just need the joy of the Lord to return to you. You want that peace. You want that sense of mercy. I'm going to ask that you step out as we sing. come get prayed for, trust and know that God has called you his own, and embrace it today.